Welcome back to Morning Talk on the Talk of Mid-Utah, KSVC 980 AM and 100.5 FM. Robert Lovell with you alongside Porter Huntsman. And it's time now for our Radio Roundup interview. And today we are joined by Sevier County Commissioner Tudor Ogden, the incumbent running for Sevier County Commissioner Seat B. As again, we've already had Edward Nielsen and Greg Jensen on. And now Commissioner Ogden will be the final interview as we get ready for the election. Of course, you've already got your ballots in the mail. And Election Day is next Tuesday, June 28th, for the primary here in Sevier County. So first off, Commissioner, thanks for joining us today.
Well, thank you. Appreciate the opportunity to be here today and visit with you guys today and the rest of the people in the community. A little introduction, I guess maybe I ought to tell them a little bit about myself. Been raised right here in Richfield, Utah. Owned Ideal Dairy. It was a third generation the time I got to it. Third generation and owning Ideal Dairy, so I do have a business background in business. I'm pretty sensitive to the businesses that we have out there. I and my wife have 10 married children, one child to be engaged, which is engaged. We have 22 grandkids and 3 great-grandkids, so we are busy. Just wanted to let you know that some of the things that I've helped with over the last year, you know, after COVID, seemed like we definitely got discovered here in Sevier County. Everybody was coming down, recreating in our mountains and impacting our forest, impacting our search and rescue. And so what we did with some of our COVID money is we took and worked with our sheriff's office to give them radios that we knew that they were they're going to have to eventually have. 800 megahertz radios is something that they're all going to have. Also for the fire departments and our EMTs. Another thing that we used that money for was our senior citizens to help with the buildings. And during the COVID time, obviously there was concerns of how we were going to get meals to these senior citizens. We were able to use some of that to also help with some of the trucks and cars to get the meals on wheels out to these folks. We also spent $20,000 or give $20,000 to the food bank. So them are things that we did use that. That's one-time money. So we're not going to use that and get that anymore. So thought we need to use that for things that we know that are one-time expenses. Also, we helped with the fire departments with their with their air packs and with their air compressors for the fire departments. Everybody in the Richfield, well, all the fire departments now are all the air tanks and all of the compressors and everything are interchangeable. I'm a firefighter. I have been a firefighter for over 35 years, and that was one of the things that you get on a fire and you couldn't exchange bottles with another fire department. So all of that's taken place and is in good shape. One of the other things that we're working on right now is the transportation master plan. It hasn't been updated since 2008, and this money was given to us. Well, we got money from UDOT through a grant to do this study and to get this up and going forward. Obviously, you know, as we look forward and down the road, as a county and as cities, we need to be looking out and looking at how the roads are going to connect one with another. So we are working on all of that. We've visit with our cities on a regular basis to make sure that the expansions that they do in their cities match up with what the county's doing as well. Another item that's live and well, obviously, is tourism. Our tourism in the valley is live and well even during COVID. We done everything we could possible to see that our events were continually to be held here and made those things happen. Snow College has now also introduced volleyball, and we take some of that surplus tourism dollars and use that for. Now we're going to put some pads up there for the volleyballs around the rails and things of that nature. The bike pass or something that's very, very popular here. We've worked hard on the bike pass to make it a better place for people to come and enjoy our areas. The hang gliding landing strip over in Monroe is a big hit. We're getting more and more paragliders and hang gliders coming here all the time. They like it here. So tourism is alive and well. The Black Hawk is another one of those things that brings in a lot of revenue for the county. Heads in beds is what we call it. And anyway, we've just awarded them another $96,000 to do some more work over there and improvements in the Black Hawk. Now, tourism dollars have to be spent in tourism-related events. You just can't take monies from one thing and put it into something else. So that's one of those situations there. So as we look forward to the economy, I've visited a lot of these businesses. Everybody's short of employees. I don't think that's anything new to any of us. And we're just going to have to go through that. I'm not for sure what we can do other than just, encourage people to continue to work and be viable as these opportunities are. There's many opportunities available. Also, another thing I've worked on is the Salina Industrial Park with Ross McClintock. Now, our Salina Industrial Park over there is geared up and it is ready. It is what they call a certified industrial park over there. What that does is when somebody pops up on the search web, that's one of them that pop right to the top. A lot of work has been done with that. I was able to instrumental in getting the money to do that through grants to help with that that industrial park. We've still got our housing is a problem. We all know that's a continuing thing. I think with the way they're raising the interest rates now, that may slow that down. Hopefully, we can get some checks and balances back in place just a little bit. Smith's Meats, of course, is building their units, 120 units here south of Richfield. Snow College, we've helped with the Snow College up there with some housing for students. We've got give a tax credit of about $1 million over 10 years for the college housing up there. And then that came about because of the solar farm out here north of Richfield. We were able to work with that. When you put in them solar kind of situations, what happens is you have to give so much to a housing developer. We didn't have such a thing in Sevier County, so we went back to the legislators and worked on trying to get that so we could have that down here in Sevier County. Otherwise, it would have went to the Olean Walker Foundation in Salt Lake, and we want more of it down here for us. Another thing that's happened, last week we set our tax rate. We lowered our tax rate. That's a good thing. We're all sensitive to taxes. When values go up, tax rates go down. There's several things that play into that part of that equation. Obviously, central assessed and some of those other things. But we do work and coordinate well with our cities on a quarterly basis. We have meetings with them and visit with them. Federal lands is another thing that I'm engaged with and have been for quite a while. We are in a lawsuit right now with the Forest Service fighting against some environmentalists to help with our cattlemen and that situation. There's things that I'm looking forward to working with the Flat Canyon out here southwest of Richfield. That seems to be a big threat for Richfield area. And also the D roads. D roads are roads that are non-maintained roads. Roads that we definitely want to try to keep for us to be able to use for fishing, hunting, UTV. You guys are probably hunters or fisher guys. You like to go out and do a little fishing. So
if we could dry out, we'd be hunters. But
yeah, definitely that seems to be the problem, isn't it? So anyway, sensitive to the taxes. I've been in the office, and while I've been there, we've cut. In 2017, we cut 16 positions in the county. Wasn't a fun thing, but we were in a financial thing that we needed to do that. It saved the county about $1 million a year since that time. Also, we refinanced the bonds That saved the county about another $800,000 over that period of time of the bonds. So those are things that I've been working on. I have a passion to continue to serve. I sit on three boards, the CIB board, the Inland Port Authority board, and the Seven County Coalition board. And the CIB board, while I've sat on there in the last 2 years, I brought $32 million into the Sevier County. So it's a pretty important place to be. I just got confirmed on last Wednesday by the Senate to sit on that board. It's been restructured, and there will be a new board, and our first training will be on June 15th, July 7th. So anyway, that's something I'm glad that I've been reappointed to that board. So there's a lot going on. The roads, we're working on transportation, like I said. We're working on 1300 South down here. That road is just about to the process that we've about bought the right-of-way through there. We don't know when that will come about, but we are looking to the future. You know, we need to make sure that we have corridors. We don't want to be like St. George down there where you can't get in or can't get out. So we certainly need to be looking at those things as we expand and move forward. So we are definitely looking at some of that. Legislation I'm working on right now for next year is some funding for roads and cities. Our cities are always struggling for road monies, and we think that we may have a solution maybe through maybe when we have growth in those communities that is something that comes down to these communities to help them. Also, I got funding last year for a study for the Sevier Basin, water drainage basin, the upper and lower Sevier River. We're trying to study that to see if there's a ways and means we can eventually put a dam in at Hatch Dam again. Water obviously is one of those big things that we're all going to be needing. So that's one of those things that I've also worked on and helped with. The Special Service District, Austin Special Service District, just received a water grant over there for $2,200,000. Now that's going to be incredible. That's going to bring some of our water infrastructure up to date. So that's been good. One thing that we always strive to do in the county is we always strive to find grants and means to help us out. There's not a department in our whole county that is not looking for grants to help us one way or another. Our engineering firms are really good to help us. They'll mention things. We get things from our national people as well to tell us, you know, hey, there's a grant out there. Right now, there's infrastructure from the federal government. There's $1.2 trillion. And so we definitely need to be tapping into that. So those are things that we need to be looking at as well, or is what we work on. So,
once again, Commissioner Tutoroggin with us this morning. You touched on most of the things we wanted to ask you about here today, Commissioner, but let's look at infrastructure with growth in the area. You talked about infrastructure for water in the Austin area, but what about with the growth we're experiencing? What do you see as the infrastructure needs and issues?
Well, definitely water is going to be a big factor regardless. In the county, of course, we're always looking for, you know, housing is going to be a big thing. But I was out talking to Dion Gardner out to the water division the other day and asking him how our aquifer looks. And, of course, they did do a monitoring of that in 2017. And then the following year, they done another follow-up with that and said that we had used another 1,600 acre feet of water. Now there's about 400,000 gallons to 1 acre foot of water. So as we look at these things, we've got to look together. That's why we're trying to coordinate with our cities and look at this and make sure that as we go forward, that we look at these things and say, okay, what's best for our community? You know, we all want to live here and we all want to be here. So we definitely need to be looking at whatever means and ways we can make that happen.
Anything else with economic development on that front?
Well, economic development, you know, we've got four people here that work in economic development. Malcolm Nash, we've got Jenna Draper, we've got Senator Darren Owens that also works in that from Snow College, and we've got Kenley Steck that work with our economic development side of things. We've got, you know, we've still got Smith's Meats out there. Looks like they're coming in. Obviously, there's things that we need to look at. I know that online jobs are something that a lot of people are looking forward trying to do. There's programs out there. We've got the initiative, Work Online Initiative. We've got 20 people that are now successfully working online through that program. That's through Utah State. That program's been introduced about 5 or 6 years ago, and Representative Albrecht made the so it was ongoing. It wasn't sunset. So that program's there. The Ready program for online. There's an incentive for people to work online and be able to get tax credits back. Yeah, you know, they can get $4,000 to $5,000 back a year from these programs, and that is through the Ready program, and that's a grant program that is run through the economic development in the state of Utah. So those are a couple things there that are working. Obviously, like I said, we're looking at trying to grow. We definitely need to have a tax base. We need to continue to have a tax base. We don't know what the coal mine's going to do. We're all fearful of that. What happens there. Right now, it's alive and well and going really good. But there may be a day when we're not going to be able to depend on them as a tax revenue, so we need to be looking at other sources and other means to bring people in. One thing, and we've had people come and look, and obviously the husbands love it because it's an outdoor situation down here where they can go hunting and ATVing and things like that. The wives don't like it as much because it doesn't have a Nordstrom's or a Macy's or something of that nature. Anyway, we continue to look at those kind of things. So housing is another thing that's got to play into that. You know, we can't build things down here and have businesses come in without housing. We do know and hear rumor that there's a hotel that's coming in there north of the hospital. We hear more rumbling that there's more housing, multi-unit homes coming in down toward down by Pizza Hut and around that corner and that area. But these are things that just going to have to kind of work through. We're all concerned about it, of what we can be able to do with those kind of situations.
Once again, Commissioner Tutoroggin with us, running for re-election for Sevier County Commissioner Seat B. We're out of time, Commissioner, but 30 seconds to a minute, give us your reason why people should vote for you.
Well, I want you to look at my public service. I've had a lot more public service than either one of my opponents. I've got a passion for the work. I'm well connected with the legislators and other county commissioners across the state. I've got a relationship with the governor's office and our federal aides, and I would dare say my knowledge, experience, and my proven leadership would be one of those things that you should be considering and looking at when you're voting for somebody for this office. I have an ongoing passion for this, so I appreciate the opportunity, and I would ask for the people's vote. Thank you.
All right. Once again, Commissioner Ogden, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
We'll have that interview on our website at midutahradio.com.